Three, two, one.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good for now. Good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good for now. But I know that by tomorrow.
Welcome to the pilot episode of Feeling Good For Now. I'm Steve Willie. I'm feeling good for now. This is a long imagined show that I've had for about a year, and it feels like 2020, now that it is over, we're starting 2021. 2020, I don't know if you heard, tough year for all of us. We kind of tested this concept in the past a little bit on the Glenn Butler podcast Spectacular, and I did TDT Talks with Nate Milton on Kings of Sport, where we looked at mental health. And this is kind of amalgamation of those things. The whole concept is that, you know, I don't know about everyone else who might be listening and my guest hosts, but my mind skews to the negative often. I'm sure that a lot of people are like that. And news and social media the last year especially skews our minds even more so, trying to get clicks, trying to get ratings. So I feel that it actually takes work to find the positive in life. So what we're going to do is break the show up into a few different chapters. One will be looking at what is good. Just as simple as that. We'll look at positive news in the media. We're going to look at some pop culture that's we've been enjoying, and bringing back an old concept, the Spectacular advice. So we'll be offering up an email that you can send in your advice questions. But at the end of the show, we'll have a little bit of advice for everyone that is listening. But first, I will bring in my co-hosts for this episode, and hopefully most episodes, from the great state of Michigan, my neighbor to the east, Detroit's finest, Jordan Duncan. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Especially since, as we were talking before we went on air, it's January in Michigan, but it's not really winter yet. I think Wisconsin has been blessed with that as well. Like, normally I'm out shoveling or snow blowing right now, and I haven't had to do that once yet this year. So we're off to a great start.
My this is something good for me as well. Like, my goal is that I will never buy a snowblower. I'm in a valley, so I just like, especially that I have two kids and myself, and I don't mind doing it. My goal is to never have to spend these several hundred dollars when you might have to only use it once or twice a year.
My goal as a snowblower owner is to eventually get to a point where I do put gas in the snowblower before the big snow comes. Hasn't happened yet. But one day.
Well, our other host, you know him from just Place to Be Nation, Glenn Butler podcast Spectacular. He is the titular man of that podcast, if I just coined a phrase. This is, of course, Glenn Butler.
Hello, sir. I think I'm going to put titular man on my business cards.
Yeah, I thought it was a good turn of phrase. So how are you doing, Glenn?
I am all right. I would talk about the weather, but I think you two are some of my only friends who actually outrank me on the average cold scale.
You get more snow for sure.
Yeah.
But average cold scale, the cold scale, we are up ahead of that. But
your leftovers, Steve. Like, yes. I feel like whatever you update, I know that's what's coming to me in the next day to 2 days.
Well, and if we get into the polar vortex, then I'm getting it after you guys.
Yeah, even better.
I think the only people who would outrank us are actual Canadians.
Right.
We love our Canadian neighbors. The amount of Canadian friends from podcasting that I have is absurd. Well, let's talk about good stuff. I think we should, you know, that is the point of the show. Feeling good for now. Mm-hmm. Taking time to, like I said, look at the wonders of the world, look at what's bringing us joy, taking an hour or so to get away from the ick. So first segment, just tell me something good.
Tell me something good.
Glenn Butler, tell me something good.
Something that's been good for me just in the last couple of days is adequate winter wear. Wow. I have just actually gotten the first decent pair of tights that I've had in my life, and it is something of a life changer.
How so?
Well, I can finally actually be outside, and like my legs aren't completely freezing. It's amazing. You know, I always just kind of toughed it out in a pair of jeans before, but I never realized how good it could be. Like, I understand now how people who, you know, wear dresses or skirts or whatever can continue to do so in the winter. It was always a mystery.
It really opens up your wardrobe to many more options, too.
Yeah. Exactly. Lots more things I could try.
Yeah.
I do enjoy the little kid look, and maybe it's just my son that loves doing this. I know they do this a lot in the NBA, too, like the bright garish shorts over the pair of tights, like your gym shorts or whatever over it. So that way you can still wear your garish gym shorts over in the winter.
It's always important to wear your garish gym shorts.
Yes. I agree. And then generally with like a camouflage shirt.
So you could go undetected on the court. That's how you get open.
Yes, undetected on the court from the top up. Yeah. But then like Dayglow orange on the waist down.
Do you have to paint the camo on your face too?
No, that's what the gaiters, the neck gaiters are for. You know, you get the opposite kind of camo.
Yep.
It's important to have different kinds of camo for different circumstances in one outfit. I agree.
Right.
just in case the background you're blending into has distinct layers.
You have the Arctic one on, the jungle one on, while you're in a concrete gym.
You're prepared for all possibilities simultaneously.
Yes. All right, Jordan Duncan, tell me something good.
Okay, this is, I'll just add to Glenn's slightly. I know I've shared this with some people before, but I had this conversation with my son last night. Just to add on to Glenn's, tights make it okay to go outside in the winter and not suffer greatly. You know, this is the year where masks have become a thing for hopefully all of us, but we know that that's not the case. As someone who's not particularly a fan of wearing masks in the summer, I do it, but it's not comfortable. I found masks in the winter is just the frickin' best. As a guy who's tried scarves or like a hoodie that goes up higher and I wear glasses, all it ever is blurred vision because I can't see as well. And then I just pull the scarf off. Masks are the answer for me. Even when our pandemic is long gone in a distant memory, hopefully, I think that masks might be a part of my winter rotation, like probably for the rest of my life. Like they definitely shield me from the face, like the, you know, the wind burn on the face. That's just my added bonus to the outfit thing, and any sort of camouflage mask will do, I suppose.
I completely agree. Like a mask and a turtleneck, I'm set.
Oh yeah, for me especially, it's the glasses. Like scarves have never worked for me because you pull it up and it just can't find the right place. Scarves don't set well, so you kind of have to clip them with my glasses a little, and then that just means all my breath fogs up my glasses. It's never worked and it never will. But for me, my personal something good is just before we went on air, I was going through some bills and paying them off. And I paid off a credit card that we have used for one of my children's dental work for about 3 years. And it is now at $0, which is a great, great feeling. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Cut it up.
Yeah.
Burn the bill.
Definitely. How about you, Steve? Tell us something good.
Oh, I am generally not a winter fan. That's shocking for, you know, this part of the country. But I went this past week to a mountain, and I'll use mountain in quotation marks. it is a very large hill, and they have tubing, which it was a designated tubing area. They also have like snowboarding and skiing, but I like my legs and I like my arms. So that is something I've never done. But tubing is nice and safe. You just get on the big inflatable, you fly down, you stop. There's very little chance of getting injured. And also, you can wear the mask, as you both have said, and you don't have like snot dripping all over the place. That's another benefit of the mask. And it was just, God, it's like, it's better than sledding. Because sledding, you find a hill around your house. It's usually over in 10 seconds. There's like 50 kids there, and you have to worry about, you know, taking out a small child. This had none of that. You had employees at the top making sure you don't go down until everyone's done. And it was very enjoyable, something you can easily social distance if you wanted to do that. Of course, some people didn't. You can wear a mask, you feel very safe, get fresh air. And it was just like being a kid again. Very much recommended if you have something like that by you. If you're a skiing and snowboard type, like some of the people there, I mean, good on you, but that's terrifying.
Yeah, we've got, it's called the Freezer. It's like an indoor place, but that's a good 45 minutes to an hour from us. I haven't been there in years.
This is Gary Gnu. And the No Gnus is Good Gnus Show, the only TV Gnus program guaranteed to contain no Gnus whatsoever. Nothing bad or wrong ever happens on my show.
All right. Well, we've told something good. Mm-hmm. We've brought a little joy to ourselves. So now we're... You know, next segment, reason for this, like I said, a little bit of the positive news in the media. We watch the network news usually on most nights on NBC, which is generally, I don't know, it's not a bunch of talking heads. So it's like, here's the news story. And it's just like in the history of local and national news broadcasts on during like prime time or like that 5:30, 6 o'clock hour, it's 28 minutes of here's all the crap in the world. And then at the very last minute, they'll be like, oh, and by the way, here's something good that happened in the world. That's what I mean by having to look for the good news. If you
show,
this segment is going to be that positive news in the media. It doesn't have to necessarily be 100% positive. It could be like a just random nugget of information that you find interesting. And Glenn, I'm worried about yours, but I think we can spin it a little bit positively. So Glenn, I'll let you go first here.
Well, one thing that I saw the other day is an article in Scientific American saying that apparently during the pandemic, Americans have increased their average use of LSD. So if you want to cast this toward the positive.
I think there's a huge positive to this, actually, but go ahead.
I mean, there's a self-care aspect to it, too. I mean, we're all realizing just how important that is now if we didn't before. So, you know, you have to know what's right for you and what's going to help your situation. And sometimes it's dosing.
Yeah.
If you would hold me against a wall and give me 4 hours to come up with somewhere that you can get LSD, I would not be able to do it.
Oh, good God, no.
No.
I couldn't possibly.
Like, it might take me an hour to find out somewhere you can get pot, but like, well, I can go by Jordan, I believe now. I can go to the upper peninsula of Michigan and get it now. There's lots of signs around these parts for that. But
I thought you meant me personally.
Yes. Like... Yeah, I'm glad that we clarified that there. You know, from a psychiatric perspective, that is the kind of hot change over the last year. So there is that, and I am going to butcher the name of the chemical. Is it like psilocybin or something like that? That's in mushrooms, like a psychedelic.
Psilocybin.
Psilocybin. Thank you. Yeah. There's research that came out this year or this past year that has shown that it plays a role in treating depression and anxiety, and possibly even, and this is also in your article too, like alcohol dependence. And so the study and article that I read, I think it was from Johns Hopkins, was that you go in like once a month or something like that. You basically sit down, they give you the psilocybin,
We know what you mean.
Yes. And just kind of turn off the lights and put on some music. And if you combine that with traditional talk therapy, initial studies have shown it's been very, very beneficial. And you only have to do it like once a month or once every couple months. So it actually might be a long-term solution to pretty debilitating depression that hasn't been treated. And I know the same thing has been shown with ketamine. I know a couple places have popped up around that, although I would want an actual psychiatrist or medical doctor to administer that to me, right, if I am not like a random, like new age type place to do that. But I feel like it's going to take a while for, you know, we are America, for like the FDA to approve something like that. Yeah. But it's around the corner.
Oh, God. Well, for actual authorities to approve it, it might take forever. But that's not something good. We could go into that topic, but that's not something good. No, I'm really inspired by a lot of the news and a lot of the studies about that too. And generally, I think that something like microdosing LSD or using pot, if that's something that works for you. I mean, full disclosure, I got a medical marijuana license a few years ago and it happened not to work for me, but I know it does for a lot of people. But if the alternative for someone is like self-medicating on alcohol or like hard drugs, then,
right,
you know, I think that's awesome and you know, really, really positive news for people who would otherwise be in a really bad place.
Absolutely.
I agree.
So I will bring mine next because it was adjacent to Glenn's. And it was also from Scientific American, like talking about loneliness, which has been a big fear. And loneliness is a driver of depression. And the article was entitled, "In the Midst of the Pandemic, Loneliness Has Leveled Out," which was a surprise to me.
Yeah, that is surprising.
Because, and what I liked about the article was this theory that even though we're more isolated, isolation, social isolation, that is, does not necessarily coincide with loneliness. Because you can be in a group, you can be at a job where you're around a lot of people, you can be amongst friends all the time and still be lonely, feel like you don't fit in or anything like that. But they measured, and this was several studies, one that went on in Europe, one that went on in at UCLA, I believe. And there was like an initial, like that first month of March and April, beginning of April, where everyone was under a more serious quarantine, that there was some raise in loneliness, but after that, it actually went down. And in some, overall, on average, that there was really no significant changes. And the reason why is that people started taking it a little bit more seriously now that everything was taken away. Like, oh, there are these Zoom call things that we can do. And there's lots of jokes about that. But for some people, that really helps, just getting that face-to-face. And also that it was something that people spent more time thinking about. You know, during a normal weekend, normal week, you might just be, oh, I'm tired, I don't want to do anything. And having it being more mindful to reach out to other people and do, and Glenn, I know you, or I'm sorry, Jordan, I know you do like trivia nights and such. I've done a couple of games. I've been able to actually get in touch with people who I don't normally hang out with anyway, like people who live, you know, 100 miles plus away, and actually see them more often than I would, you know, see in quotation marks. And you could still, you know, have a drink or something like that. But I just found that interesting because, like in my business in, you know, kind of the field of psychology and mental health, the amount of people, of like couples who are really struggling because they're not used to being around each other all the time, who needed help, is just been exponentially larger, but loneliness was, that was the thing. You know, I worry about that myself because I'm someone who feels lonely a lot of the time. But to see that it hasn't affected, you know, as much as we initially expected, it's, maybe we should, I guess that's why we call the podcast Feeling Good for Now. It's like, not this great, like, hey, we're in a pandemic, things suck, but at least this isn't that bad as we thought. That's the new title of the show. This isn't as bad as we thought.
It could be a food podcast as well. Nacho fries from McDonald's. Not as bad as I thought. Actually, significantly better.
And also a, not just nacho fries itself, but it's providing jobs for out-of-work Modern Family actresses. So that's also a good thing.
I don't get that reference, Steve.
Oh, I think her name's Sarah Hyland, who was on Modern Family.
Uh-huh.
Is, they have like a small film that's been on a lot of, I think a lot of sporting events. It's like a
nacho fries
commercial about nacho fries. And it's like I don't generally watch commercials, but it's like a dark movie of like, they're trying to find the nacho fries. And yeah, it's a actual Sarah Hyland, you know, an actress of one of the longest running sitcoms in our history.
Go in with a more serious role in the movies. Yes. Piece about nacho fries.
Yum Foods putting out the money for nacho fries.
That's right.
You know, we've got to think about the people hardest hit by current circumstances. Exactly. Won't somebody think of the Modern Family cast?
Yeah, poor Ed O'Neill. What's he doing right now? Get him on Zoom, guys. If we're cold, he's cold. Bring Ed O'Neill inside. Let him in your home this winter.
You got to get Ed O'Neill some booties. Come on.
Jordan, do you have anything for us in terms of?
I do. First, I would like to add, I think if we combine our conversations so far, I may have gotten us all rich just now, gentlemen.
Excellent.
Are you guys familiar with Shark Tank?
Yes, I am. Yep.
Do you think we could put together a prototype and approach the sharks with a LSD-laced mask of some kind? So we could be out in the winter. Also, you know, the stigma of having to buy it in a dark alley is now gone. And, you know, whenever we need it, we can just get that mask out.
That is very good. That is a very good idea, actually. You could have something that's activated by the moisture in your breath, and then you breathe it back in.
Yes.
I mean, who says no besides Mark Cuban, I think.
I think Mark Cuban, you know, newly woke libertarian, no longer a libertarian. I think he might be up for that.
We'll tag.
I'm not even asking about that one.
I'll tag Mr. Wonderful in the social media posts once this song goes live. We'll see what we can do. But I found an article that I thought was kind of interesting, and it was 20. I can't remember the exact title, but basically what went right in 2020 and 20 good news stories of the past year. It was published a couple weeks ago at the end of December. And there's obviously 20 of them, so I won't go over all of them. But a couple that stuck out to me that I thought were pretty cool. One is, we talk about, you know, LSD and things like that. We talked about kind of the more harmful things. I saw that in the United Kingdom, smokers quit in the highest number in over a decade. So like over a million people in the UK have given up smoking, largely because of COVID-19 and, you know, the news about how it affects your lungs and stuff like that. So I think anything that can get people in our world a little more healthy is probably a good thing. But the one that I thought was pretty cool and interesting, given that we live here in the good old United States, is the nation of Kazakhstan joined a list of 80 something. I don't have it in front of me. They're like in the 80s to abolish the death penalty, which is something that I have actually become much more interested in and social about over the last year to 2 years. I am opposed to the death penalty. And I think that pretty much all nations should be in there. And So it's kind of interesting to see a country like Kazakhstan that we here from America would probably view, you know, as less refined than us, as making decisions that I think are probably a little more good towards man than what we're doing. I just thought that was very, very cool to hear from a place like that. I'm trying to bring up the article because there was a couple others that I thought were interesting. Ah, here it is. I can give you guys the link separately if you'd like. Let me scroll down here to, there it is, the UK Smokers.
I can report anecdotally that smoking in my household has gone down 100% because
that's great.
My fiance had struggled a little bit to quit. And now I am the one who leaves the house to go shopping and I ain't getting them cigarettes.
Right. There you go.
This is ending smoking by, yeah, right. I don't even say, just refusal to go shopping.
Right. Oh, here's the other one I was going to mention. Costa Rica this year, 28th country to legalize same-sex marriage. So it's interesting to see other countries around the world kind of either catching up or making progress on us that we haven't made yet. And just seeing like laws go into effect that really take humanity into to thought, I think is always a good thing.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the other ones are kind of like,
yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here and just have a couple plugs. Like I said earlier, I'm part of the Kings of Sport Patreon page. If you want to check out TDT Talks, Kings of Sport, generally their main show is just like it sounds, a little bit of looking into NBA, Major League Baseball, football, and kind of like this, some pop culture segments as well. And it is the longest running, independently run podcast hosted by two or more African Americans. So it has been around for many years, and it's an honor to be the white guy welcomed in, at least on the Patreon.
So you're Jim Carrey.
Yes. That's a great reference. We are living in living color these days. Also on the Main Event podcast, which is part of the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we will be on the Place to Be Nation pop feed for this show. Jordan, anything you want to plug?
Well, I have relaunched Rank and File over at the North-South Connection podcast network. I feel like I get that name wrong. I always butcher it. But you guys were a couple mainstays on the old Rank and File. This one is no wrestling, all pop culture stuff. I got a buddy of mine who I know personally, lives down in Texas. We get together once a month. We had Aaron on the first couple episodes. Andy is on one that actually just came out yesterday. We did Christmas movies, and it's just a, like you said, it's a nice way to connect with people, talk for an hour or two, talk about things that interest you, laugh. And yeah, that one, we're about four episodes into Rank and File. That's what I've got going right now. That's the only other podcast I'm on.
I love Crank and Style.
Don't we all?
Glenn, anything on your end that you want to talk about that you want to plug?
Just Crank and Style, now that you mention it.
Now that Glenn has tights, everything's in style.
Speaking of, I was recently on the Laughing Theater with Andy talking about Robin Hood Men in Tights. Otherwise, I have not really been on a podcast in approximately forever. But if you go back into the archives of the Place to Be Nation pop feed, there are all the episodes of the Glenn Butler podcast Hour Spectacular, of course, now and forever.
Then, and hopefully, now, you know,
little Oscar, yeah, not forever. Little Oscar previews, my favorite shows to listen to, so I can catch up on all the movies I haven't seen and listen to all of the movie scores.
Yes, yes, indeed.
All right, well, let's, you know, if we're talking about Oscars, we're talking about movies, it's a good transition into our Pop Life segment. Pop Life. Everybody first ever Pop Life. Never been done before. No one has ever talked about pop culture, things that we've been enjoying. First time experience for the nation, really, and the world.
I've heard the PTBN pop feed is called the PTBN soda feed down south. Is that true?
That is true. Okay. Or just the Coke feed if you're in Atlanta.
Yeah. That's a different kind of feed.
Well, I'm going to go first on this. And ironically, coincidentally, I should say, on in the background right now is the as I've been sending you pictures in our show chat,
not
the 1950s. Yeah. The 1950s version of this show is on right now. But something that I have been enjoying greatly with just this has been the past year has been the year of nostalgia, comfort food, both food wise and with television and movies, going back and watching stuff that is almost mind numbing, to be honest. And for me on the Pluto Network, which is a free kind of television network that I wouldn't even know how you describe it. Just a bunch of random channels of old shows and like YouTube content. I know there's a Fortnite channel, which is what's something we all need. It's been the Price is Right, and not just the Drew Carey Price is Right, which is a good show, but the original Bob Barker Price is Right. And they've been going through the year of our Lord 1982. And I grew up on Bob Barker Price is Right. I've heard stories of, and I do remember this, my mom would like kind of clean a room each morning and then just kind of sit me down in front of the television, which is, that's definitely a way to parent too. And just the bright lights, was probably really appealing to me as a kid. But man, I used to play all the games, like make them up on my own as a kid. It brings me not only joy, but just like this sense of relaxation. If I turn on an episode at night and maybe read or scroll or something like that, the difference between, say, game shows of today and those of yesteryear, it's amazing. They're, a lot of the men in the audience are older. They're not like college students. They're wearing shirt and ties. The women have just giant hair and a lot of dresses. And boy, there's a lot of women who make it up on stage. There's no mistaking that Bob Barker was the ladies' man. You see these things as you're older in a different light. But it is, even the games are different. They have some of the old games like Skee Ball. Just a joy for me. Really, like I said, really relaxing. It's like a cup of hot cocoa before you go to bed. Maybe that says something about me, but I know, like other people are binging entire seasons of Friends in 2 days. So if I can, if I can watch an episode of Price is Right from the 80s, a couple times a week, I think I'm okay.
Not bad. I'll add into the game show love because I think there is something to watching old game shows and just being relaxing because it's something you can watch and pay full attention to. You could kind of scroll on your phone if you need to. And it doesn't have like, there's never a dramatic end. That's something I've struggled with. Like, I watch TV in bed at night and that's kind of how I fall asleep. And I found that I can't find anything that's too interesting because I won't fall asleep. So game shows are like the perfect medium. And there's like three seasons of Jeopardy on Netflix that I go through. And they put them up for usually like a month, take them down, put out other seasons, which is kind of nice. It takes about that long for me to get through all the episodes. Side note, I think that there's something to what is the practice called? You know, when you listen to something in your sleep to help you to form habits. You guys are familiar with that, correct?
No. Like
the example I can think of is like, I think it's an old episode of The Simpsons where Homer was listening to a tape to try and lose weight. And instead he learned French by accident, something like that. But I feel like it's working on me because I fall asleep watching Jeopardy and then I'll wake up, you know, the next day or the day after, and I'll watch the episodes that I had fallen asleep to. And I know a lot of the answers, you guys. So I feel like in my sleep.
Like learning by osmosis?
Yeah. I feel like I'm retaining knowledge that my ears are picking up while I am fast asleep. Maybe I've discovered a new way to educate. I don't know. But yeah, Jeopardy's one that I watch. As I mentioned, I don't remember if I mentioned on air before we got on here. I got a newer TV this year in like the default channel. It's like the Samsung TV channel. It's like these old game shows. But the one that I actually do enjoy is Classic Concentration with Alex Trebek.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, which is, yeah, you just match prizes, like pick numbers, and there's like a rebus behind it. And you just have to figure out like what the rebus is. It's so interesting to see Alex Trebek, like casual Alex.
Yeah.
You know, in his Cosby sweaters and things like that.
That was like 84, 85, 86, I think. Like, yep. I have an unnatural memory of game shows. My favorite, that is like, along with like the $25,000 pyramid, $100,000 pyramid, one of the best bonus rounds.
Oh, yeah, all with the cars. Shows.
Yeah, yeah, they have like the 7 or 8 cars, yep. And you do the matching and. Like, it's either like you get like it increases 5 seconds each time someone doesn't get it.
Yeah.
And so like if it's 30 seconds, it's almost impossible. And so it's really like you're really on edge.
Yeah.
But then if it gets up to like 60 seconds, it's pretty darn easy. But to see people just massively fail on it.
Yeah. Like go back to one again. No, you dummy. That's the that's the gremlin.
And it's great. And Matt, like, I don't want to bring this down, but Alex Trebek, of course, passing very recently.
Yep.
You know, like, to see, like, back then, he's always had that little bit of personality. Like, he's a genius. He's a very smart man. Like, and to just see his frustration level, which translated over to Jeopardy forever. Like, you know, when people miss very easy questions, he's just got that great kind of, I wouldn't even say passive aggressive, but like kind of dismissive humor where he gets frustrated. He's like, okay.
Yeah, where if someone else did it, you'd be like, oh, that guy's kind of a douche. But with Alex, it's like, oh, Alex. You know, it's like a beloved trait to him, you know?
I'm pretty sure in the 50s Price is Right that is on right now with Bill Cullen, who went on to host mini game shows, they're bidding on a chariot.
Well, the picture you sent us is clearly a submarine, by the way.
Someone won a house on the last episode.
A house?
An actual house.
Is it in the neighborhood they were already living in, I hope? You want a new house. Pack up your family and start a new life.
Also, in the mid-50s, a house would have cost, what, $7,000?
Yeah. I think it was $16,000 or something like that. It was hard to tell because I had the volume off.
That's what today's catamarans cost on Price is Right. Side note, catamarans are the only place in the world I've ever seen, or Price is Right is the only place in the world I've ever seen a catamaran, but I've got a couple other pop culture ones that I'd like to throw out. Some that are fairly obvious, you know, I just started The Mandalorian, late to the game. I'm not a big Star Wars guy at all, so I feel like that's like a ringing endorsement for me, like, I'm not anti-Star Wars, but I'm not like, Star Wars is kind of like, okay, whatever. Like, I didn't see the last two movies, don't care to see them. And I started watching Mandalorian. I don't even know how we got to it, but I really, really liked it. I'm only 2 episodes in. It's a really good show. I've got a show that just debuted January 1st on Netflix is Headspace's Guide to Meditation. Which I just watched the first episode. I think it's a really cool concept to just throw it as a Netflix series, teaching people how to meditate. And that's something I've kind of dabbled with during this pandemic quarantine. Haven't gone like dove into the deep end, but it's something that I enjoy and I'd like to get better at. And so any sort of resource that is pretty available to a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people have Netflix. I would recommend taking a look at it. The first episode's only 20 minutes, and you'll probably know by the first episode if it's something you're interested in or not. But it kind of explains, you know, some of the myths of what meditation is. You don't have to sit cross-legged, you know, with your palms facing upward or anything like that. And it also guides you through a short little session. But I found that it helps me a little bit clear your mind. Not clear your mind, but just kind of calibrate is the word I use, because clear your mind is kind of one of the myths, like that's almost impossible to do, to clear your mind of thoughts, but to sort of calibrate and recenter yourself. I think it's a good thing. I've got one more pop culture thing that I would recommend, and I didn't list it in plugs because it's not a podcast that's on any of our feeds, but one that I've really, really enjoyed, and Steve, you might like the concept of it. It's called Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. And it's a guy named Rob Sesternino. He was on the TV show Survivor, and that's how he kind of got his claim to fame. He's got a whole podcast network. Rob has a podcast. But this one show is the one I listen to every week. It's his, him and his friend, and they have a wheel, and they spin the wheel, and that's what that week's podcast episode is about. And listeners can send in submissions and ideas for podcast episodes, and they get accepted or rejected. Like, one of the ones that I like is, it's called Season 3, Episode 7. If that's what lands on the wheel, they have to watch Season 3, Episode 7 of a specific television show. Just a really fun show. I mean, they're long episodes, like 2 to 3 hours every episode. But if you, you know, are like me and you sit at a computer for work and you need something to listen to, you can't really watch and podcast, or you go to Robin and Akiva Need Podcast is a really good, it's fun. You know, it's just a really enjoyable listen. That's my pop culture hits.
Excellent. These are good recommendations. I too have been watching a bit of The Mandalorian, so we're trying to watch it as a family, but try to get 4 people to watch the same show is virtually impossible.
Yep, agreed.
Now, Glenn, I'm excited about your recommendations because I'm pretty sure it's going to turn into a podcast within a podcast.
Yay!
I do enjoy doing podcasts within podcasts. I think that's something that we can all get into. Just to note, I have not seen The Mandalorian at all yet, so I'm further behind you guys.
Ooh. Excellent.
Only an episode and a half behind me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's going to grow.
Okay.
Also, this isn't the recommendation that I thought of beforehand, but Steve, after you had mentioned Pluto TV to me a little while ago, I saw that they have a Star Trek channel, which is completely mystifying to me, because all it has that it cycles between is the first 4 seasons of The Next Generation and movies 4 and 7. which granted, those are 2 of my favorites in the series, but anytime I turn it on, that's all that's there. And there was one time that they ended an episode, followed it with the last 15 minutes of that same episode, and then joined another episode in progress. I don't understand who is programming this thing. I don't understand how it happens. It is somehow enthralling, but deeply mystifying. So often I will switch over to the Bob Ross channel, which is...
Oh, yes.
Awesome. Awesome to have on in the background while I'm working to try to regain some sense of calm. Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of Bob Ross on Netflix, but only like 3 to 4 episodes.
3 to 4 episodes is inadequate.
No, not nearly enough.
No, but my podcast within a podcast for this segment is going to be Glenn Recommends a Podcast.
Yay!
Because podcasts have become my primary way of engaging with pop culture these days. Mm-hmm. My recommendation this time is a podcast called You're Wrong About, where 2 journalists revisit people or events or phenomena to poke at the details behind something that's kind of hardened into a particular impression in the popular consciousness. I really appreciate the episodes about specific people. Some of the ones I've listened to recently were Tanya Harding or John Walker Lind or Yoko Ono. They take someone who's been defined in a very specific way and fill in a lot of the background that makes them, you know, a complete human being with a rich inner life that really adds a lot of context and a lot of reconsideration, to put it lightly, of the ways that people are conceived. So it's kind of painting people as complex with actual motivations.
You're more than just the one thing you're known for.
Right. Exactly. And that one thing you're known for has probably been perceived
as negative.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie I, Tonya? Or I, Tonya?
No, I haven't.
It's really good. It's obvious. It's a, I would say, historical fiction it fits into. But Allison Janney as Tonya Harding's mother is something to behold. And you can get a little bit more of Tonya Harding's maybe rationalization that the mom was very abusive. But it's also a comedy, if you can believe that. A very interesting movie. I one of the movies I've actually seen in the theater. I don't know if you know what those are.
I won't for the next 5 years.
I have a vague, vague, distant memory of them.
Well, we're going to wrap up. As I mentioned before at the top of the program, back on your podcast, Glenn, we a couple times did Spectacular Advice. And we're going to bring that back for the end of the segment. But, you know, we have to send the email out to people since this is just the first episode. So before we head out, if you guys have any advice for the listeners, I am all ears. I can go first so I don't just throw this upon you. Mine spins off from what we talked about at the beginning of the show. Even if it's winter and it might be cold in your area, it might not be cold in your area. You might be living at the equator, for all I know. That's the wonderful world of podcasts. I would suggest just trying to get outside. If it's cold, even if it's like for 10, 15 minutes, getting the fresh air, the vitamin D from the sun can really help stave off some of that seasonal depression that people get. And just even getting the splash of cold air on your face is kind of invigorating, I would say. And we don't want to be cooped up in our house because we have been quite a bit. You know, it's easier over the summer to get outside, but to do it over the winter, a little bit more of a challenge. But I also think that everyone can do it no matter how old, how young. Go for a walk, go sledding if your body can handle it. I may have been sore after I went tubing, just going to say. But that is my advice for those listening. Try to get outside.
That is really, really important for me in particular. One thing that I struggle with is kind of getting into a rut and kind of continuing and continuing and continuing, whether it's kind of a depressive cycle or kind of an anger issues. So kind of forcing some kind of break to go out for a little while, just stop that train rolling is so, yeah, so important. And even right now, I mean, I have found a lot of places to go walking outside as long as I want, basically, where, you know, there isn't a crowd of people, it's safe. There are probably areas you can find where it's completely safe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's, you know, if a nature preserve is too crowded, like even just taking a walk outside of your house, is fine. I'll sometimes walk to the coffee shop and literally walk through the drive-thru so you don't have to really interact with people. Jordan, how about you?
I would say, and just trying to think of things that I've grown from on my own, is that I think it's healthy to take self-assessment of your own belief systems about things. And I guess the term coming from my personal life and my faith would be deconstructing is not a bad thing. Take stock of everything you've been handed growing up, and don't be afraid to throw out the stuff that doesn't make sense or had an expiration date that has long passed. I'm learning that myself.
I will not ask to give you to give us an example from that personal.
Oh, yeah. If we want to stay on the Something Good podcast, if we want to do everything that's wrong about church podcast, I could lead that up and it would be a doozy. But
oh, I think I proposed that podcast a few months ago, actually.
It would be pretty fun.
Although from your perspective, it would be different from mine.
Sure. And maybe that's why I should have you on. But yeah, like I said, I mean, I really think it's important to, as we grow, like I'm 40, I turned 41 this past birthday. Did I turn 41, 42? No, I'm 41. Okay. I said to do some quick math there. Even at 41, I still hold on to things that were just like kind of taught at a young age or told. And you just, there's a lot of things that we just kind of accept as truth because someone else told us that. And we don't ever challenge that. And I think it's good for us to challenge some things. And sometimes those things hold on. And sometimes those things stay firm. You're like, okay, that is worth hanging on to. Nothing wrong with that. You know, but then there's some stuff that you kind of shake that tree and you see what falls out. And if it's all rotten, then cut the tree down and cut it out of your life. You know, don't be afraid to do that. That's what I've been doing, and it's interesting.
Yeah, just let it go.
Yeah. Cold never bothered me anyway. Go outside.
Yeah.
Frozen reference. There.
We have Frozen reference and Nacho Fry commercial references on this show.
We'll take those.
I don't know that my advice would necessarily be a lot of nacho fries.
No.
Right.
Although, yeah. You know what? I'm not here to judge, and I'm not here to shame anyone.
Microdosing of nacho fries.
You know, you've got to reconsider the nacho fries and see whether they're really a valuable part of your life. And if they're not, throw them out.
Yes. Yeah. Glenn, I don't even remember if we went to you. I don't think I have gone to you yet, and you are the master of spectacular advice.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, no pressure there, Master no. Glenn.
And if you don't have any, we'll just say that you need to hold on to your wisdom to build it up.
Cultivate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the meter is growing, and it has quite gotten to that dark shade of red and started shaking to let me know that it's okay to issue the advice. I would just return to something I was talking about a little earlier about being aware that people are complete people with inner lives, because for me at least, that's very easy to forget. And I think we can get a little locked into our viewpoint, and it's really, really important to consider the fact that other people are real people and they're just as real as you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or at absolutely. Least I have to take that as an article of faith. I'm not a solipsist.
Yeah. Well, some of those Twitter accounts aren't real people, but yeah, for the most part.
Well, they're made by real people. Well, true. The things that made them are made by, you know.
Eventually the path leads back to humanity.
At some point.
Yeah.
Well, that is going to do it for our first episode of Tell Me Something Good. Actually, that's not even the name of the podcast. But hey, that's the name of the first podcast. That's the great thing about a first podcast is that you're going to have a lot of things to work on. And that will be one. One will be knowing the name of your podcast that you made up. That will be the end of the first episode of Feeling Good for Now. I'm a professional podcaster, Steve Willey. I'd like to thank my compatriots, Jordan Duncan and Glenn Butler, for joining me, and hopefully you can find something good and, you know, feel good for now.
You know what I think is something good?
What is that, Glenn Butler?
Talking to my friends.
Aww.